administering portion of the county.
Why not?
With all the changes.
But you had it as well. You had it as well. On the show. Put me down, I'll buy it.
Just hold these sheets of paper, or you can even and we will have you turn those back in at the end of the class. At the warning, first warning bell, we'll have you fill that out during your class sometime here, or at the warning bell, and then turn them back in to me at that time. That's all there were. Now, are you short?
Yeah.
You short here? Oh, quite a lot of them. Well, maybe they have some more in the offer. Do you know? Just a moment, I gave you the wrong book. Too many interruptions these days. Praise our God forever. In the 93rd Psalm, while if you haven't made out those papers, you might just go ahead and try making them out now under the circumstances which you have, waiting still for some other. I'd rather wait just a second, let her come back in. But these Psalms here, if you have some special cross references that you have already found for yourself concerning these verses, as I come to them, why, you just speak up and give them to us if you want to. I haven't had time to do much cross-referencing recently, and I lost all mine that I already had in there, so my page is practically blank. But you do have considerable of cross-reference right in your margin of your book, most of you. And we do want the others to get some also. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength. He has all strength. That's the reason he's called El. El means strength in the first place. Girded himself with strength. He hath girded, he's taken himself all power. He has all power, and he uses it and manifests it. The world also established that it cannot be moved. You see, whatever God does, the devil's not going to destroy the world. God's going to destroy the world when he gets ready. A lot of people are so troubled about circumstances. God, who made the world, made it for a purpose, and it's going to fulfill his purpose. The throne, thy throne is established of old, from the beginning. Thou art from everlasting. Again, in another place in Scripture says, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art he. I am he. I am he, testifies of himself. I can't tell you exactly where it is, so you can find it.
With thy throne is established of old, Psalms 45, verse 6.
That's Psalms 45, 6. 45, 6. Okay, thanks. For which part? From everlasting to everlasting. And that's Psalms 90. What Psalm again?
Psalm 90 and verse 2.
90 and 3, right behind us. You just got through it. Yes, second verse.
Hebrews 1:8.
And which one with Hebrews?
Hebrews 1:8.
Where?
Hebrews 1:8 with verse 1. Verse 2.
All right. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. That's the same thing that you find in about the second Psalm. The heathens rage, or it's a little further over where he says that. It's further over. In the Psalms it says they have taken counsel against the Lord and so on, but further over it says the heathens raged. The nations were moved. You see, that's what he's talking about here. The floods have lifted up the voice. The whole world is in tumult. That's in Psalm 46, isn't it? What verse did I give you? Who can tell me in Luke? Who has that scripture that I gave you in Luke 21:19? I believe it is. Luke 21:25. Luke 21:25. Who has that cross reference in Psalm? Remember I talked to you about the nations, the distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring? Well, here is this one anyway in Luke, and you should have one in Psalms for that also. Luke 21:25. Psalm 65:7. See, I lost my Bible and all. Now I don't have that cross reference to grab like I could. Psalm 65:7. I want to get that down here myself. Which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of the way their waves, and the tumult of the people. That tumult of the people is the same thing over here that talked about the waves roaring. The waves roaring is the tumult of the people, according to the Greek and the Hebrew, and means the same thing, and therefore you have that cross reference. That's in Psalm 65:7, and this is Luke 21:25. Okay, and Psalms we're just now reading goes with that also in those other two places, you see. When you put those cross-references in those three places, interchange them, then you've got a good cross-reference there that'll always bring you to the knowledge of those things. That's in Psalm 93 and verse 3. Psalm 93:3. All right. Now, the Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also is established that it cannot be moved. The throne is established of old. From before Abraham was, I am, and so on. And in the beginning, God, thou art from everlasting. As we find in Psalms 93 and Hebrews 1:8. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. And that's speaking of this end time here now. The whole world is risen up. The nations were angry. The nations were moved. And gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed and against his saints. The Lord on high is mightier. That's a good verse. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters. All this world can do, all that communism can do, all that every ungodly nation can do, in all the rising up, God is mightier. He has all things in his power. When he wants to use it, he will do that. And that's a good thing to know, that no matter what the circumstance is, God is mightier. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, many nations. Yea, mightier than the mighty waves of the sea, the tumult of the ungodly. Because the whole world is going to be in tumult against God in this very last end of the age, under the power of the Antichrist and the operation of the devil himself. God's going to have to destroy the whole world of wickedness, the ungodly out of the land. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house. Holiness becometh thine house. Holiness is righteousness, separatedness. That word holy is the same as saints, sanctified, separated, set apart. See? It becometh the house of God. Anything else is unbecoming in the house of God. Anything but righteousness and holiness. Therefore, he says, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Because holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever, in all ages. Chapter 94, O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. And I can't tell you where it is now, for sure. Anyone got it? Lift up thyself. There's many other places he tells you the same thing. Thou judge of the earth. Stir up yourself. Rise up. Shake terribly the earth. Thou judge of the earth. Render a reward to the proud. When he riseth up to shake terribly the earth. We have that in the scripture too, but I can't tell you exactly where it is. It's in more than one place, but render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked triumph? There's scripture that doesn't tell you he may triumph until the morning. But in the morning, and in that day, a great day of the Lord, he will be seen to be triumphing, but God will overcome them. They made war against the Lamb, but the Lamb overcame them in Revelation. Yes? Which one? Thank you. I was in hopes that a lot of you would have these already figured out, because I didn't have time to get through all these. How long shall they utter and speak hard things? Not forever, no. And all the workers of iniquity boast themselves. How long? They break in pieces thy people, O Lord. It's a long time, oftentimes. Habakkuk 1:2, for instance. And they continue against God, as in 1 Samuel 2:3, I noticed. Then, but God's time is coming. I don't see anyone here that tells me that in this book here. In my other book, I could have told you several. Bear with me, and I'll try to get some of them, more of them ahead now, as soon as we can get straightened out again. How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. Psalm 79:1. They slay the widow and the stranger, and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see. Job 22:13. Neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. God doesn't see. He doesn't have anything to do with this thing. We're just down here. We got to take care of ourselves. That's not so. Understand, ye brutish among the people, and ye fools who do not acknowledge God, because that's foolishness. When will you be wise? He that planted the ear, strange saying, he that planted the ear, though he's planting an ear of corn or wheat, he that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that made the ear, he that put it there, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? God who made all these things, does not he know? Cannot he see? Does not he hear all your sayings? Isaiah 59:1. He that chastiseth the heathen, shall he not correct? Psalm 89:32. He that teacheth man knowledge, shall he not know? Isaiah 2:3. Sounds right. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity, they're vain. Proverbs 15:26. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law. You see, that sounds just like Paul, doesn't it? James, and also James 5:11. But God's promises is to his people. Psalm 138:7. That thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity, until the pit be digged for the wicked. Just a little while. Rest yet a little while. Till your brethren should be killed as they were. Or until he rises up to take to himself his great kingdom. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. That's a positive promise. But judgment shall return unto righteousness. Isaiah 42:3. Micah 7:9. Deuteronomy 32:4. Even after they've been cast off, God will bring them back. And all the upright in heart shall follow it. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? The Lord Jesus Christ himself. Not only as the captain of your salvation, but to give you the power through his name, and then he himself will destroy the wicked and gather his people. Exodus 32:6, 119:115. Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. Now, if you will look up, how many are doing this? You see those big numbers here, especially in those of you who have the Thompson chain. You see the large numbers there, 29, 12, 15, 60, right there where we are. If you turn over those, they'll give you quite a number of different verses that deal with it. They won't always all be applicable to what we've got right here. And I usually try to get verses selected as the Spirit brings them to me that do fit the verse here. Now, they may talk about the same thing, but they may not have anything to do with this particular verse, and sometimes they may not be applicable at all, even though they use the same words. So if you look at those in the back of your book and then pick out of that group that they give you, Thompson Chain is good for that, you can pick out the ones that do fit the verse and then put them here. Put only the ones that fit your verse in what you're talking about. See, not just any reference. That's the reason I don't know right now without having, I haven't time to look them up. So I don't know how many are going to fit exactly, but some of them I can tell from where they are. I know what God says back there. I know that some of those are all right, see, because I know what he's saying back there or here or any other place. Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in Zion. Except God had left us a remnant. We had been like unto Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, I can't tell you exactly where that is, but that's another one of them. So that if you look that up, that also is the same thing. Yes?
So Romans 9:27-31.
Romans 9, 27 to 31. Or and 31. Okay, thank you. Now, you should have, among a group like this, we almost should, somebody should have almost a place for every one of these places. You should have already have looked it up. Now, I know that we've been disturbed in the last few days, but then, I mean, continually, you should be doing this. You should be doing this before class, looking up some of your own. And then that way, it could help me also, so that I won't have to do all the looking up for you. I shouldn't do that. I should insist that you do it. But I give you only what comes to me, and you're supposed to be looking up the rest of them, because there are many more. Many more, and some of them better even than some that I may give you. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. Now that he gives us 73:2. Let's take a look at it. Yes, 73:2. Let's just take a look at it for a second and see how that fits us. I had another one in mind. 73:2. But as for me, yes, that's the one I had in mind. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. I almost just said it to you, but I thought I'd look up this. As for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped when he was envious at the foolish and saw the prosperity of the wicked. But you'll notice as he goes on down below, he says, until I went into thy sanctuary, the 17th verse, then understood I therein. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. You see, those verses all go with that. That's the 17th and 18th verses. Thou castest them down into destruction. And that's the one that I had in mind also. Psalm 94:18. That's right. All right. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy commandments delight my, thy comforts delight my soul. He is the comforter. He is the comforter. I'll not leave you comfortless, I'll come to you. Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. It not only means fatherless, which it means primarily, but in coming to you as a father, he becomes your comforter as a father comforted his own son or child. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee? Now, that just that much tells you, gives you another scripture over in the New Testament. Who got it right now, just from the reading that? Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee? What part hath Christ with Belial? What part hath a believer with an infidel? See? What part hath light with darkness? What fellowship? I can't hear you.
2 Corinthians 6:14-17.
Thank you. All right. They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. The Lord shall laugh at them. He shall have them in derision. Second Psalm. I don't have that down here either, but it just comes to me. Your soul's enemies, you have there a number of them under 360, and it gives you Psalm 109:20. Let's look at it. Psalm 109:20. Let this be the reward of mine adversaries from the Lord, and of them that speak evil against my soul. Well, there's many places it says very like things. We've been reading them right behind us. The Lord is my defense, my God is the rock of my refuge. And we've had lots of scriptures on that, so you ought to know where they are, and you can find them. He shall bring upon them their own iniquity, and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off. That's a promise. That's a promise that sets fast. See, God will cut off the wicked out of the land. He will take vengeance against your adversaries. God will stand by you. He will uphold you. He will gather you and take care of those that gather against you. Some, yes?
With verse 22, Psalm 1831.
1831? Thank you. 23:6. All right. Now, Psalm 95. Whether we get the other verses or not, the psalm as it sits right here is our lesson, and what it says is true right there, but then we want to know that it's confirmed by all these other places, see, and that's the way you get to know the full meaning of it all and make the full use of it all when you have your cross references also. But what this says right here is good just as it stands. All right, Tom?
Well, did you say that verse 21 of 94 was messianic?
Chapter 24:21. They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. That is against the Lord Jesus. That's right. But also, if they hated you, me, they'll hate you also. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you also. If any man live godly, he shall suffer persecution. You see, all those others fit in with it because we also suffer the same thing. We have the mark of the dying of the Lord Jesus in ourselves also. But it does, and oftentimes specifically it points to that particular one that they did do this thing to, the righteous. They had nothing against him, but they crucified him. See, that's right. Could apply absolutely. Because his was the innocent blood. Isaiah 59:7 also. Come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Now you see, they couldn't have even sung those songs back there in those times. Way back there. That's long before they were cast off. They couldn't have sung those without having had some spiritual feeling in that thing. It would have been a poor song. But they did sing them. They did have the feeling. There were those among them that were cherubim. They were bride. They were of the bride of Christ. There were those who were fulfilled that position that we find in the bride of Christ and then in her companions. You see, it was there all the time. It was there all the time. There's always been some whose hearts have been right with God, and God has been saving them, bringing them on through. You may hear an awful lot of the other, but then that's to warn you. But then there's always been a people. I remember some of the old commentators, before ever Jesus' name, people were known as a body of people, as we are now. I remember reading in an old commentary, before ever the revelation of Jesus' name after the Trinity came in and the leaven that the woman took and hid in three measures of meal, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, until the whole was leavened. You see? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, all right, but the way they messed it up, it leavened the whole thing. You don't know who God is, who the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is. They don't know. The woman, the kingdom of heaven, is likened to a woman that took leaven, hid it in three measures of meal. Now you take three measures of meal and put them in one vessel. You can't tell those three measures of meal one from the other, can you? They're all in one vessel. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead body. How are you going to separate them? Three measures of meal in one vessel. How are you going to separate? How do you know which one's which? You can't separate that. It's all one. See what I mean? What did I start to talk to you about?
Commentary. The old commentary.
Oh, yeah. The old commentary. It said, there has always been a Jesus people. And he meant down through the history of the church, clear up to now. And that's true. That's true. There's always been a persecuted people that just believed on Jesus and followed him, see? But there were so few compared to the rest of them. We don't hear much about them. We don't hear much about them. But there has always been. They were put out and killed and persecuted and made war against and burned at the stake because they insisted on believing on the Lord Jesus and would not accept the doctrine of the Trinity. It took them about 300 years of actual warfare in the church to force that doctrine upon them. Because they had the power and authority through all the way that they did the thing. They actually, it looked like the church was lost. You couldn't find them. They were in caves. Yeah, hiding. And just scratch the form of a fish maybe on that, or let one another know that they were there. Ichthyos. Meaning Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and so on. All right? Let's go back here. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, make a joyful noise unto him with psalm, for the Lord is a great God, El, strength, and a great King above all gods, or anything that might be called gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. In his hand. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his. He made it. His hands formed the dry land. I stretched out the heavens alone, spread abroad the earth by myself. I can't give you the verse on that. Maybe, I don't know for sure. Isaiah someplace there.
Isaiah 44:24.
What was it?
44:24.
Isaiah 44:24. Thank you.
Isaiah 40:12.
40:12. All right. I knew there were there, just a lot of them there, but this particular one. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Humble yourself before God, and he shall lift you up, James says. Also, back in the Old Testament, it's told us that time and again, that if they would. Isaiah 45:23. Psalm 96:9. Looks good. All right, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand, under his hands. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation when they provoked him back there in the wilderness, as in the day of temptation, provocation in the wilderness. And we find that in... that seemed like that should be right here, but it's in Hebrew someplace there. Where?
3:7.
Okay. Harden not your hearts, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, saw my work. And if you want to read about when they did it, well, you look at Numbers 20:13, Exodus 17:7, where he's telling about it, where they were doing it, actually. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation. You remember, he kept them wandering in the wilderness for 40 years until they all died off, except Caleb and Joshua. 40 years was I grieved with this generation, said it's a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Unto whom I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. That also is in Hebrews 4, 3 and 4, both. They shall not enter into my rest. Now, Paul picks that up in the New Testament and says that if we fall, we can fall after the same example of unbelief unless we're careful. Let us therefore fear. Harden not your hearts, because he swore in his wrath that they should not enter into my rest. But there is a rest for the people of God if they will hear his voice. Today, after so long a time, in Hebrews it says, today, after so long a time, in Christ, long ways from where he first told them this. Psalm 96. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. That new song. Not the song of Moses. Not the song of Miriam, Joshua. A new song in Christ. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless his name. Now, they could sing this song and prophesy of it and sing about it, but it wasn't until they came to know his name that they could really sing it. That's in Christ Jesus. There is a name I love to hear, love to sing its worth, sweetest name on earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. Sing a new song. Also 98:1 says the same thing. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song right here alongside of us. For he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. That's a prophecy of Christ. That's a prophecy specifically of Christ. That's in 98:1. But it fits in with this first verse of 96. Sing unto the Lord, show forth, manifest his salvation and tell it wherever you go from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, among all nations, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great, greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. I don't have to explain what that means. You know what that means. You know what that means. It's in your heart. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Amen. The Lord made the heavens. Stretched out the heavens alone, spread abroad the earth by myself, when there was no God with me. I am the Lord, beside me there's no Savior. All these you'll find in Isaiah 42, 3, 4, 5 especially. Just loaded with it. Wonderful. And just before God cast off his people, he was telling them these marvelous things through Isaiah the prophet. And then comes Ezekiel, right in a time when he had to just prophesy destruction. And then prophesy to them a bringing back of the end time. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Oh, there's many scriptures there that could be used there. Isaiah 2:10. Others in there that tell of his majesty and the King of glory. And I don't have them right here and can't give them to you. But if you look up these marginal references in the back. It'll probably give you several of them. Give unto the Lord, O you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. That is, you don't give him his strength, but you admit it. You ascribe unto him. Ascribe unto him glory and power and strength, because he has it. Declare it and recognize it and speak to him about it and magnify him and praise him for it and thank him for it, and then appropriate it unto yourself. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. You don't give the Lord glory and strength. He already has the glory and strength, but he wants you to give him glory. He wants you to magnify his name. He wants you to tell about it. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come unto his courts. Now, God is pleased with the offering of your lips and of your heart more than any bullocks or goats ever were. They were only types and shadows and figures, giving of their substance. But now he wants you and your heart and your song right from the bottom of your heart. Those are the things that please God. He dwells in the praises of his people. He abides there. He likes to be there. He likes to stay there. He loves to hear it. That's his glory. Oh, worship the Lord. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering. Come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Right out of the heart. Unfeigned, pure worship. Fear before him, all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. Jesus lives. He reigns. He's king. He rules over all. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. God is going to shake everything that can be shaken. He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, and it'll never be moved. Psalm 99:5, right here in front of us. Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. That is, all you on the earth, because the earth is his footstool. All people on the earth worship him. Say among the heathen, Psalm 24:2. The Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established. He shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. The righteous judge. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful. All that is therein. It says even the trees will clap their hands. The little hills will skip like lambs. Be glad for him. Be glad for him when he comes and establishes his kingdom. The whole earth will rejoice. They'll bring forth their fruit. They'll bring forth their flowers. And the whole world will magnify the Lord in that day. Take the curse away. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful. All that is therein. Psalm 65:13. All the world and all nature praise him. But not only that, but everything will be glorious. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice. God created all things to glorify him. And all things do glorify him. If it were not for the unrighteousness of man. If it were not that God had to just tear the thing apart and destroy a lot of it, this world would never have been the same. You wouldn't have seen some of the rough, barren, desolate, desert, dangerous places that we've got if it had not been for sin. All of that came when that great flood and all the upheavals and the erupting of the mountains and so on, because of man's sin. And the devil has corrupted the world and polluted it and changed it. The whole world is out of course. The whole universe. Yes? I can't hear you.
With 6B, Song of Solomon 5,
All right? Did you ask me something, or did you tell me that? I couldn't hear all you were saying. You don't speak loud enough for me.
Scripture reference. It was with verse 6b, Song of Solomon 5, 10 through 16.
Okay. All right. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice. The trees of the wood rejoicing, actually speaking of people, means the whole world of peoples then. The trees of the wood. He speaks of his own people as trees. He even speaks of some of the others in different manner. Also as trees sometimes, high and mighty and lofty and proud. But also his own people. And now, this is both natural. I mean, there won't be any tent caterpillars making ugly old trees in those days. All trees will be beautiful and glorious, and all nature will be wonderful. It'll be as the Garden of Eden again. But then the greater indication is that the people, they'll all be holy also unto the Lord, and they'll be blessed, and they'll magnify his name, and they'll give him praise. The trees of the wood, meaning the people. It'll be both that which is natural and that which is spiritual. The spiritual is the people, but they're a natural people, and they'll also be a spiritual people.
Russ, with that verse, Psalms 29:6.
Okay.
Song of Solomon 2:8, and Jeremiah 48:27. Psalms
29:6. All right.
Song of Solomon 2:8 and Jeremiah 48:27.
You'll have to talk louder in the airplane.
27.
Thank you. I can hear the airplane real plain. Yes. Yes. In fact, I understand that when I read it, because she shall rejoice before the Lord. For he cometh to judge the earth, and he shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. And he's going to judge both the righteous and the wicked. And the way he judges will be right. And he will judge his people with his truth. That those people are blessed, but the others are cut off. Tom?
Acts 17:31.
That last verse?
Yeah.
All right.
Psalms 98:9.
Okay.
Also, Jude 14:15.
Again? There's just too much noise way out here. I can't get it all. But the rest of you probably do get it. All right. Let's... Now, have you got those sheets filled out that were to be handed in? Did everybody get a sheet? How many did not get sheets? Quite a few. Well, tomorrow perhaps we'll have better to do this again. And I didn't prepare that. That was here and they told me to do it. We'll try to get another. And then those who did not, tomorrow you can turn one in. Send them forward now, however. Just now pass them all forward. They're trying to find out what's best here if anybody's uncomfortable and... Either way. Send them all down quickly. And we can grab another psalm here while you're doing that. The Lord reigneth. Anybody say amen?
Amen.
I mean now.
Amen.
Yes. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of the isles be glad thereof. All the isles and the coasts of the whole earth. Let them be glad. You see, that's prophesying of the when the gospel goes forth. That's the only way they can. It is to get to know God. It's to bring them to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then they will do this. But God is ordaining it to be so. The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. When God says, let the earth rejoice, that means there's going to be a great deal of it rejoicing. See, just like he said, let there be light, there was light. Now, when God said, let the earth rejoice, doesn't mean that none of it will come to pass. There will be, all over the world, there will be rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are now. They have been. And they are right now, and there are going to be a lot more of them one of these times, too. There's going to be a lot less of them, too, who's that are the other way. Clouds and darkness are round about him. He's hidden. Thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel. I don't know where it is now. Can't tell you exactly. God hidden. You probably find it under 2489. Somewhere, but I don't know where it is. But it just as it comes to me. But God has always been hidden from the ungodly, because God will not manifest himself. They cannot look upon him as he is, as we are. See, man cannot look upon God and live. Therefore, he's always manifest himself in the thick clouds and in darkness and hidden. We see sometimes through glass darkly. We saw him in the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But even then, we saw the man in the flesh. But it's only as we are in the Spirit that we can see through the veil of flesh and really recognize him as the Lord. And through the same Spirit that he has, then we can also see him in a way that the world can never see him. Someday we'll see him as he is, fully, completely, because we'll be like him. Not that he's going to be like us. When he became like us, we could see the manifestation. But when we become like him, we'll see him as he is. As he is. All right. All right. Clouds and darkness around about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. Never find anything else different. Wherever God is, there is righteous judgment and righteousness. And not only that, but judgment even of the wicked. A fire goeth before him, burneth up his enemies round about. His lightnings enlighten the world. The earth saw and trembled. Many times God has manifested his power, as he did down in Egypt, with the actual lightning. There's plenty of evidence in the book of Revelation that one day again God will manifest great powers out of heaven, both with his lightnings, with his thunderings, with his hailstones, with brimstone and fire from the burstings of the mountains. They're loaded with it. The mountains are loaded with it. It tells us back there, I think it's in Psalms, forgotten again now what it was, that you gave me a while ago about the tumult in that same place there. That same place. All right, that's it. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Thank you.